2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the, notice this little phrase, third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we see Paul referring to an incident that happened in his life, Lord, and we're going to use that to do some defining this morning. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for the doctrine of heaven. Thank you for all the Bible teaches us about heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd help this preacher as I try to preach on something that, Lord, there's no way my mind can properly comprehend. There's no way my vocabulary will live up to the challenge. Lord, there's no way, Lord, that our thoughts could fully grasp all that awaits us. But thank you for a place, Lord, that we've never seen and yet we feel homesick for, a place we long for and desire. And Lord, thank you that this isn't all there is. Lord, bless us as we preach the Bible this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Brother Tom led us in this song, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. By faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I like heaven songs. I like heaven songs. I think one of the favorite categories of songs that is available to us to sing as a congregation and as special music is songs about heaven. And I'm going to be preaching a series, Lord willing, on Sunday mornings beginning today. I've got about 21 messages outlined. I don't think I'll preach all of them. I'm going to ask the Lord to kind of guide me through the process, but maybe 10 or 12 messages in the upcoming weeks on the subject of heaven. Amen. Folks, heaven's a real place. Amen. Heaven's a real place. It's not some made-up story. It's not some fantasy world. It's not some myth. It's not a fable. Heaven is real. Now, we see an interesting phrase here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, who was going to be entrusted and used to the Lord in a mighty way, a powerful way, not only to begin to spread the gospel across Europe and introduced many Gentile cities to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also Paul was going to be used to pin down the truths of over half of the New Testament. Think about that. Well, you know what? He needed to go to college so that he could learn. So God said, I'm going to take you to Bible college. And you know what he did? He took him to a very unique place where he's got a better education than any of us that ever went to Bible college. God said, I'm going to take you up to what he called the third heaven. He said, I don't know if I was in the body when it happened or I didn't know if I was in the body. I said, preacher, he talked about like this was some other man. To this, Paul was so worried and so fearful that pride would enter into this story. That when he told the story, he told it almost in a third person type way. And later on, he even told that the Lord evened it out because he gave him extra revelation. He also balanced that out by giving him an incurable thorn in the flesh to keep him humble before the Lord and to keep him weakened physically so that he would not be tempted to be puffed up with pride, because he had an experience that none of us have ever had. And by the way, when people want to talk about out-of-body experiences, people want to talk about visions and revelations, folks, this was before the New Testament was complete. And I'm telling you, you may have eaten anchovies on your pizza and had a dream, but you'd have not gotten any new revelation from God since this book was finished and completed. But Paul did have that opportunity, and he did have that experience. He mentions that where he was caught up to was the third heaven, and God allowed him to see some things and learn some things and be taught some things that he needed so that he would be properly prepared to write the inspired words of God and to have insight on some things that he needed to have insight and to be used in a wonderful and powerful way. Say, preacher, why doesn't he just say, I was caught up into heaven? Because there's not just one heaven. The Word of God explains that in God's viewpoint, in God's teaching and view of life, there are three heavens that God created. Say, what are they? It's not complicated. We'll get it real easy, okay? There are three heavens. There is, I'm gonna call it this one. There is the daytime or the daylight heaven, okay? Or the first heaven. And that's what we see during the daytime. Makes it easy for the young people to understand. If you go out right now and you look up in the sky, you know what you see? The first heaven or the daytime heaven. Now at night, you can see the second heaven, the nighttime heaven. Now sometimes the daytime heaven blocks out the nighttime. The first heaven blocks out at night the second heaven. Sometimes, depending on the cloud cover or something like that that's in our atmosphere, we are prevented from seeing the second heaven. But if you go out on a cloudless night and you go out on a starry night and you go out on a moonless night, you talk about being able to see the second heaven. And that is the nighttime heaven, or what we call the second heaven. Then there is the invisible heaven, and that is beyond our sight. That is not something that men will see until they have breathed in their last breath, that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that's known as the third heaven. Tell me a little bit more. Well, let's talk about the first heaven. When the Bible speaks of this heaven, it speaks about of the atmosphere above us. That part of heavens, of the heavens between the surface of the earth and what we call outer space, okay? It is the breathable part of the heavens. Does that help you? It is the place where the clouds dwell. It's the part of the heavens that send rain to the earth. And by the way, it's measurable. Mankind can measure the first heaven. It's about 100 meters from the surface of the earth to where the suborbital space begins. 100 meters, that's about 62 miles, or on a rocket ship, you can cover that distance in about 10 minutes, okay? So if you strap yourself to a rocket ship and take off, you're going to be able to get to that, cover that 62 miles in about 10 minutes' time. And so that's the first heaven. It's the atmosphere where we watch the clouds blow across the sky. It's where we see those storm clouds come rolling in. Sometimes on those bright blue days where there's not a cloud in the sky, what you're looking at is the first heaven. Well, the second heaven, when the Bible speaks of this heaven, and God describes all three, and the reason I'm pointing this out, if you're doing a study on the word heaven in the Bible, you have to understand, first of all, that there's three possibilities of what God could be speaking about. You have to understand that there are three heavens. Sometimes when the Bible's speaking, it's talking about the atmosphere. Sometimes when the Bible speaks, it's talking about the stars. It's talking about what we call outer space. Sometimes it's talking about the invisible heaven where the throne of God is. The second heaven, when the Bible speaks of this heaven, it speaks of the space from where our atmosphere ends and all the way to where eternity begins. It is the dwelling place of the stars. It's the home to comets and meteorites and galaxies and solar systems. It is where we observe the planets around us. It's where our sun exists. This second heaven is immeasurable, but mankind has taken a stab at it, okay? Science guesstimate, and by the way, that's what they're doing, guesstimating, because if you don't believe that, just Google this and read all the different opinions and all the different numbers, and so they're guesstimating our solar system That's our solar system where Earth dwells, known as the Milky Way. The place where our planet Earth exists is about, according to them, 100,000 to 150,000 light years in diameter. 100,000 to 150,000 light years in diameter. Some of you kids are so excited. You missed school so bad. You're learning science right now. And the excitement that you feel in the front of this church is just palpable. It's unbelievable. Now, what is a light year? That's the distance that light would travel in a year's time. Now, think about that. A light year. And 100,000 light years across. That's just our solar system, our milk. Hey, what I wanted to get across to you today is we have an amazing God. We have a great creator. A great creator. The observable universe is, of course, much larger. According to our current thinking, I like that when I read that, it is about 93 billion light years in diameter. Wow, you think about that. Even if we hopped, we say, preacher, how in the world can we, you know, man is going to go out and explore space. How is that possible? Well, if we hopped aboard the space shuttle Discovery, which can travel about 5 miles a second, it would take us 37,200 years to go 1 light year. Have you got that? That's 1 light year. And yet the Milky Way is 100,000 to 150,000. You know what outer space exploration ought to do? It ought to humble man, not lift us up with pride. You know what? That's why some of the American astronauts, when they got up there, you know what they did? They opened the Bible and read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Neil Armstrong came back and talked about seeing that planet, being able to pick his thumb and cover planet Earth with his thumb. And he said, it did not make me feel big. It made me feel very, very small. And that's what God's creation ought to do. It ought to put things in perspective. Sometimes we think that we're the center of the universe. We think we're so big and so important and everything revolves around us. And let me tell you this, folks. God was just fine before Jerry Ross showed up, and he'll be just fine after I'm off this earth. God doesn't need us. I say this often. This is encouraging. God doesn't need us. God wants us. That's a big deal. That's a big deal to me. But you know what? You think about it. That's the second heaven. Then we have the third heaven. Nehemiah spoke of it. Thou, even thou, O Lord, alone, thou hast made heaven. And then there's a comma. He says this, the heaven of heavens. With all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. You'll find several times in the Bible, not just the mention of heaven, but this phrase, the heaven of heavens. What is the heaven of heavens? It's the third heaven. It's where God exists. It's referred to in the Bible as the heaven of heavens. It is a heaven. The part of the heavens that cannot be observed with the human eye. It is the heaven filled with the invisible mysteries of God. It is the location of the throne of God. It is the place that must be accepted by faith, not observed by science. It is the eternal destination of every born-again Christian. It's our home, the place of my citizenship. The place of no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. It's a place of no more night. This is a holy place, by the way, a sinless place. That's why our sins must be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ if we have any hope of going to heaven. It's a place that with each passing year, I will tell you this, and young people, if you don't understand it, it's okay. I didn't at your age either. But with every passing year, my heart longs more and more. For heaven, I'm homesick for a place I've never been. For the next several weeks, I want to preach this Sunday morning series on the invisible heaven or the third heaven. That's what we're going to be focused on, God's heaven, God's place. Going to give you five this morning introductory truths about these three heavens and especially the third heaven. Number one, although the third heaven is invisible to us, it is just as real as the first and second heaven. Now, mankind will admit that there is a first heaven. And they love studying that. There's a young lady, she's a good girl. And you know what? I know that this could have a lot of different interpretations. But one of the girls that I seen sitting on the front row when I was doing opening assembly had a shirt that says, Science Rules. Now, what that probably means in her mind is that's her favorite subject, or that's something that she's interested in, and I think that that's true of a lot of young people in school today. But as I sat there and looked at that, I thought to myself, you know what? Science really doesn't rule. God rules. Okay? And there are those that think that science rules. They would interpret that in a different way. They would say, you know what? I don't believe in anything that I can't measure. Don't believe in anything that I can't study. All I believe is what science will show me. Let me tell you this. If you spend your life insisting on only believing those things, listen to what I'm going to say. You will die and go to a devil's hell. You know why? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. God has set this entire thing up. It's his choice. When you're God, you get to make the rules. You know what he decided? That you will be saved by faith or you will not be saved at all. And so we have to make the choice to either decide to believe by faith in this third heaven and the God of the third heaven and the Son that he sent to Calvary, or you know what, we'll die in our sins. And then we will believe the invisible creation then, but it'll be too late for our lives. Colossians chapter 1 talks about this invisible part of the creation, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Listen, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The third heaven is invisible to us. We can observe the first heaven during the day, and many nights we can observe the second heaven. But you know what? We must go to the pages of God's word to see by faith the third heaven, the existence of the third heaven. Here's an interesting story. In 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human to enter space. Now that means that first one that got out of the first heaven and entered into the edge of the second heaven. And that's all he did. He just entered past the edge of the first heaven. But he's credited to be the first man to enter outer space. The first human to venture into the second heaven. By the way, he was a Russian astronaut and an atheist to boot. When he returned, he foolishly made this proclamation. Think about what he said when he got down on the ground. I looked and looked, but I didn't see God. I looked and looked, but I didn't see God. And a bunch of people said, well, there you go. There's the proof. What ignorance. Had he studied the Bible, he'd understand. If he'd even studied science, he would have understood that God does not exist in the second heaven. God exists in the third heaven. And by the way, the second heaven, in which he just broke the surface of, is so large and so big that if anything, what he should have seen was not God, but the clear evidences of the handiwork of God. You know, God speaks to these things. Romans chapter 1, the Bible talks about men like Yuri. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things of God from the creation, the visible creation, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And I'm thinking, Yuri, you broke out of the first heaven. You had a view for the first time of the second heaven like nobody ever has. Why in the world did you not recognize the handiwork of the Creator? Of the Creator brings us to our second point. Our Creator God created all three heavens. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 2:1 said, thus the heavens, plural, and the earth were finished with all the host of them. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy, is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. I love Psalms 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, he gathereth the waters of the seas together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Listen, folks, you're not going to stand before God and say, God, if you'd have just appeared to me, if you'd have just come in person so that I could see you, I would have believed in you. And God said, well, then you wouldn't have been exercising faith. And by the way, you're without excuse. Because according to Romans chapter 1, I manifested my presence, a knowledge of my presence inside of you when I created you. Every person that is created understands that there is a God, something bigger than them. Then he said, I made this amazing creation, and it stands in witness of my existence. And you know what? If you choose to hold the truth in unrighteousness, which means if you choose to disregard all the evidences of my existence and proclaim that there is no God, well, God says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And so the first and second heaven stands as a witness to the glory of, our creator God created all three heavens. Number three, the first and second heavens stand as witness to the glory of our creator. Now think about what we've said so far and listen to Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth, this is east, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. That sun that comes out of the bride, as a bridegroom out of his chamber, runs the race, talking about the sun. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his current circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know what? Watch this. As a little boy, I'm talking about a little elementary boy living in Brazil, Indiana, and we come out on those starless nights or those cloudless nights, and we look at those stars. Thank God that I'm a country boy. I'm just going to say this. Thank God I'm a country boy. There's people that live in the cities that hardly ever seen the handiwork of God. You know, in our large cities, there's so much man-made light that it dims out almost any view of God's handiwork. Thank God I was raised out in the country. And you know what we do? We go out at night and we'd entertain ourselves. We were taught to entertain ourselves. Adults, are you listening to me? We were taught to entertain ourselves. Okay, and so you know what that means? That means the parents chased us out of the house and they did adult stuff and had adult talk and we went out and had fun. You know what we did? All kinds of things. We'd chase lightning bugs. And I mean, we'd spend hours chasing lightning bugs and putting them in a jar. And you know what? I can remember my dad's old 1966 red station wagon, Buick station wagon. And sometimes, you know what? I'd climb up on the hood of that. I'd lay out on the hood of that. That 1966 Buick station wagon, lay out on the hood. And you know what? That metal would have absorbed the heat of the day. And even though the sun had now set, you could still feel the heat on your back from laying on top of that old station wagon. And I put interlace my fingers behind my head, and I'd spend sometimes an hour just looking at the handiwork of God. And you know what I knew? Listen to me. And every man knows, and every woman that's ever been born knows. You know what all of these atheist professors knew when they were 6 and 7 year old boys? That's why God didn't say to children, now you got to become adult-like in order to enter the kingdom of God. He says to adults, you better come childlike to enter into the kingdom of God. You better get back and find that child faith.
Yes, sir. Come on.
sad when we've been educated beyond our own good common sense. But let me tell you what I knew as a 6 or 7 or 8, 9 year old boy, laying on the top of that, the hood of that station wagon, looking up into the stars. I knew there was a God. I saw his handiwork. There wasn't 1 second of my life in those simple days that I thought that that just somehow accidentally happened. You know what I saw? I saw the fingerprints of God in everything around me. That's why I was glad that I was raised in the country. I'm glad that I was surrounded by God's creation. Listen, I did 6 years of inner city work, ministry. And I'm going to tell you, sir, I feel sorry for the young people that are raised with very little evidence of the existence of God around them. I mean, literally, almost everything they see from the time they leave their house till they walk back into the night, mankind made. And they think that's the real world. It's not the real world. And you know what? When you'll go out and you'll look into that first heaven, and you'll look into that second heaven, and you'll look at and listen to the evidence, the witness that they provide of the existence of a holy God, you won't have any trouble believing in that third heaven. How about Psalms 8? I love this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, not university professors, excuse me. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of the hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And all of creation, folks, preaches a message. All of creation tells a story. You can see the handiwork of God and the fingerprints and the evidence of God if you just open your eyes. I wrote Mountain Lessons, a book that I wrote after I got back from going out to Montana, going to Elk County. Just finished a book called Lake Lessons. And I'm going to tell you this, folks. I'm going to tell you, I think the greatest schoolroom in the world to learn about God, outside of the pages of the Holy Bible, the best source of information and understanding about the great God is right there in the classroom of nature. There's nothing that you can involve yourself in if you are in the midst of the creation of Almighty God, where there are not biblical lessons everywhere around you. Creation preaches about the existence of God, teaches and reinforces the biblical principles of the Bible in everything that you do. I got into knife making here a while back, and several years ago, and there's a guy, a pastor named Pastor Tony Wood. Now, Pastor Tony Wood, he's a knife maker. Me, I don't know what I make. I don't know if you call them knives or not, but Tony Wood, his abilities are here, and Jerry Ross's is, well, wherever, probably down in the basement compared to, but I've made a few knives. I've made 15 or 16 different knives. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You take a piece of steel. Where did that steel come from, by the way? Go back to the process of what, listen, in everything that comes out of this earth, there is a testimony to the existence of God. You take a chunk of steel and you throw it on your workbench. You take a couple of boards, just small pieces of board, and you throw it beside it. By the way, God made that stuff. Take the little brass pins and you throw them beside there. And there they are, just sitting there. By the way, not of any good use. The way they are can be used for very little, the way they are. But you know what? If you take those materials and you put them in the hands of someone like Pastor Tony Wood, he can take those things and shape those things and hammer those things and fire those things and form those things. And take an entire process where if you come back in 2 or 3 days, he will hand you a knife and you'll say, that cannot be the same thing that I saw laying on the bench. Do you understand, folks, that in the process of making a knife, God teaches us what he's trying to do with us? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. Good night. Folks, you're blessed to be living where we live. I've said this. You've said it to me. that during the last several months, aren't you glad we live where we live?
Yes, sir.
And not stuck in some inner city somewhere. But I'm telling you this, folks, the young people, I want you to get this. You know why I've got to hit this so often? Because some of you, just in a month or so, within 3 or 4 weeks from now, you're going to go into school. And by the way, you don't get a choice. You go into a classroom and there's a teacher waiting there with a biology book, a science book that's going to try to convince you that there's no God, that everything that you see around you just happened to happen. And they're going to try to destroy your faith in a creator. Young people, listen to me. I don't care if you go to a Christian school and all the way through or a homeschool, and your parents for 18 years have put within you the truths of God's word. You enroll in a public university or school, and there are teachers waiting inside the door to meet you as a freshman who have one goal in mind, and that is to destroy your faith in this book and to destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what you better do is you better, listen, you got a choice to make. Guess you can listen to some little toe-headed atheistic professor, or you could go out in the woods and take a walk. Okay, you could wait till nighttime and you could lay on that hood of that car again and you could interlace your fingers and you could look up and you could listen to that which God created inside of every one of us that tells us, I'm here, I did this, I made this. And you know what, folks, listen to me. I'll put my faith in the God of this book. I'll put my, yeah, you say, preacher, you just have to accept that by faith. Amen, that's right. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you know what you do? You just hang on to your King James Bible. And if you ever get your face shaking a little, you take a walk out the woods. And then you compare all that you see and all that you read to the motives of some man that when he was a boy laid on a car hood and also knew there was a God, but in the foolishness of his heart, chose to believe something different. And the Bible says his foolish heart was darkened. Something about unbelief is unbelievers want to try to convince other people not to believe. But you know what? We just by faith say there is a God. Now, let me finish by saying this. The throne of our Creator God is located in the third heaven. Not only that, but the departed saints await us in this third heaven. We're going to teach and preach on some of this stuff. We're going to have a good time. Where is the throne of God? Why didn't that Russian astronaut break through the first heaven into the second heaven and see God? Because that's not where God's throne exists. The Bible tells us that the throne of our Creator God is located in the third heaven. Psalms 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I love what Solomon said, 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Remember, he was commissioned to build the temple, a temple or a house for God. I'll read these verses, 2 Chronicles 2:1. And Solomon determined to build a house, think about this, a house for the name of the Lord. Now, why did it say that? Because he knew he couldn't build a house for God. And a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens and 80,000 to hew in the mountains and 3,600 to oversee them. And he says this, behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread and for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all little g gods. But who is able, listen, to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Who am I then that I should build him a house save only to burn sacrifice before him? You know what? Solomon understood that. Okay, God, you want a temple to be built in honor of your name, but this is not a building that can contain you. You know where God exists? He exists in the heaven of heavens, but he doesn't just exist in the heaven and heavens. He spills out into the second heaven, into the third heaven. And folks, you know what? There's no place, according to the Bible, that we can trot on this earth where there is not the presence of Almighty God. I got good news for you. The departed saints await us in this third heaven. And also, Jesus Christ died so that you and I can go to this third heaven. We're going to spend 20, maybe not 20 weeks, but we're going to spend the next several weeks preaching about heaven. Folks, there's the first heaven. You can go out there and look up this morning, young people, after church. You can go out and you can look up in the sky and see it. There's the second heaven. If the clouds allow you to tonight, you can go out after dark and you can see the handiwork of God, the evidence, fingerprints of God. But I want to ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to the third heaven? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's a wonderful place. I went to the Rock Run Baptist Church as a young boy. Thank God for a simple preacher. I mean this, a preacher that just opened the Bible and said, "Thus saith the Lord." My daddy said those country preachers knew how to put the jelly on the bottom shelf where everybody could get it. I like that. Why did you get saved, preacher? Oh, because he told me about a hell that was real and hot. And the Bible backed up what he said, and I didn't want to go there. But I'm going to tell you this, that's not the only reason I got saved. A strong, powerful reason that I got saved is the same preacher that preached about a hell that we needed to shun. He also preached about a heaven that was so wonderful that I wanted to go there. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know Jesus loves you? And he died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I read these words of Jesus in closing? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's in that third heaven, by the way. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, you know, in the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not the way. We know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son. The gospel's simple. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for the sins of the whole world, for your sins, for my sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. He did that for you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you think about that? Can you look back on the timeline of your life as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around? You look back on the timeline of your life and find a place where you fell under conviction of your sin, realized you were a sinner, realized that sin was going to keep you out of heaven. It was standing between you and God, you and salvation, you and eternity in heaven. You became convicted of that sin. You felt the drawing of the Father. You understood that Jesus loved you, came down, died on the cross. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay the price. Jesus said, I'll do it. He died for my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. He purchased with his blood a gift. The Bible calls it the gift of eternal life. God holds it out to each and every one of us. It does not become ours till we turn from our sins to Christ. Reach out and accept the free gift of eternal life. What a moment. We call it salvation. Jesus called it being born again. Can you find that? As you look back in your life, has there ever been that moment? Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Cannot. It's necessary to be saved in order to see this third heaven. There's also a terrible place, an awful place called hell. And you know what, folks? That's real too. What's the difference between dying and going to heaven or dying and going to hell? What's the difference, preacher? Somebody's just better than somebody else. My good outweighs my bad. No, that's not it. It's accepting Jesus Christ. It's understanding he paid for all of your sins. It's understanding I could never be good enough to be able to walk into heaven sinless because I'm a sinner. Something's got to be done. That sin has to be paid for. Have you been saved? We have one of our men standing up here. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, as soon as the music begins to play, if you'll step out from your pew, go to the nearest aisle and walk up here, he'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure, how you can know for sure that if you were to die, you'd go to this wonderful place called heaven. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts, Lord, during this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player play, which means it's now's the time to come if you want to be saved. Now's the time to come. Just say excuse me to the person next to you. Head over to the nearest aisle, come forward, see Brother Brian up here. We'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven. Oh, it's a wonderful place. It's a blessed place. It's a sweet place. There's so many things that we're going to see. I want to just be for the next 10 or 12 weeks. I don't know how long the Lord will let me preach on this, but I just want to be a tour guide for the next several Sundays. And I just want to say, hey, you know what? Let's go on a tour. Let's go over and see this part of heaven. Let's go over and see what's over here. Let me show you what the Bible says is over here. By the way, let's go meet some of the people that are there. I don't want you to miss heaven. I want you to accept Christ as your Savior today if you've never received Him.